This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
K&C Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Two sports questions of the day for you to start things off. Feel free to respond to either one that you want. 877-881-1053. Do you love games in the harsh elements? And does the Heisman Trophy still feel as important as it used to?
I thought this test was multiple choice.
Bad news, Corey.
Crap.
It's an essay test.
All right.
And so and everybody gets to hear your answer. So you're not going to be able to hide behind anything on this one. How many people are like, oh God, I hated the essay exams right there?
I want to know that answer on the fan text. 877-881-1053 or in the fan, the Dallas fan cam chat with Mike right now.
I'm getting in right now with 206. Tuololos are doing all right. I like when we get to 300, but you know, we got some solid Tuololos in there that are usually 200 strong.
Now I want to go ahead and fire off cut one, because for a giant chunk of the game, this was really the lone big piece of offense.
Toss comes to the near side for Harris. He runs through a big hole, and he's gone to the 50. A burst to the 40. Alone to the 20. Damien Harris to the house. Touchdown, Patriots.
Now, you got the sense leading into it, social media was lit up with whether it was the person trying the field goal in the pregame that went, I don't know, 30 yards to the right.
And how many times did you hear the same report of, and none of them are okay with kicking a field goal unless they're at the extra point line? You're like, okay, I get it. It's windy.
And then you had the Monday Night Football crew got knocked out of their seats because of the wind. And then if you weren't sure about any of that, that first kick that flew, 10 rows deep into the stands, you're like, oh.
That was awesome. Me and my son looked at each other. We're like, oh my. So
we're in for it tonight.
I thought when that happened, at that point, you can make a 75-yard field goal.
Oh my God. I was right with you. I was like, if you're on that side of the field, if you're on the other side of the field, screw it. And I think that's why New England, they said they went for two, because they're like, it'd be stupid otherwise. Yeah. I wanted them to absolutely just line up at their own 40 and just boot it and just be like, let's just see what happens.
But then when I was actually watching the regular broadcast. I forgot the Manning broadcast was on, honestly. So I watched the regular broadcast, and then they said, both kickers said, even going with the wind, they didn't feel comfortable past 40 yards for the most part, because of the wind was going to play tricks with the ball even when you had the wind. So I was like, oh crap, so we're not even going to get to see a 60 or 65 yard attempt here.
From the 972, I subscribe to the theory of Kavanaugh. Get rid of weather. Too much rides on these games.
Sure.
I remember this moment, Mike, when I was walking out the first time AT&T Stadium had been opened, and it was a high school football
playoffs,
run.
Yeah.
It was the Kirk Herbstreet stuff. And I was walking by and I saw Dick Butkus standing there right at the edge of the bar. And I was like, all right, let's go talk to Dick Butkus and just see what's up. This is really cool. I asked him, I said, so he was just kind of staring around at the stadium. I said, so what do you think? And he said, I effing hate it. And I was like, oh, and he said, it's too perfect. Where are the elements? There are no elements to it, and that's what football is supposed to be. And when you hear Jerry Jones talk about this morning with Sean and RJ, he was like, look, that just shows you the greatness of this football game is you do have these other things. You have man versus man, and then you have the elements. And I'm like, but you took the elements out of the game altogether so that you could have a more perfect game. And I understand why they did it. Texas is hot, man. But
sure.
But that is part of the game that I do enjoy. It makes it sloppy. It makes it boring. But we get a lot of fun, 40 to 30 games. We get a lot of fun stuff like that.
Would you?
Last night was something that I thought was really interesting, though, in the concept of what the Patriots are growing into.
Would it feel different if this was the AFC Championship game? Because, like, you look when that game's going to happen in January, you could absolutely see these exact same weather conditions, whether it was in Buffalo, whether it was in New England, whether it was in a number of different places. Would you feel any different if, like, this was still a regular season game? I get it, an important regular season game to determine who's going to take control of the division. Do you still feel the same if it's to determine who goes to the Super Bowl?
It makes it scary. I do think it's part of football. I get the taking it out because when you're playing, if it's a heavy downpour, or remember when we were a kid, Chicago versus Philadelphia, and you couldn't even see the game on television.
Was that the fog game?
Yeah, the fog game. Like, I mean, there's certain things where you're like, and that was a playoff game, where you're just like, God, this really doesn't determine the best team right now. It's the best team playing in these conditions, but the best team in what you'd consider Super Bowl conditions, because it's rare, besides the one in New York, where you have bad weather dictating a Super Bowl situation. So I'm for watching some games in conditions. I do think it's cool when you see snow on the field and stuff like that. But then when a team passes the ball three times the whole game, you're like, well, that probably won't happen in a playoff game, that Mac Jones will probably have to attempt, I'm assuming, 20 pass attempts. But Bill Belichick is really good at this. This is what makes him, to me, the greatest coach in football history.
Right.
Is that he can look at what is about to happen and say, how can we overcome this? How can we take advantage of this? And he was able to put together a plan offensively and defensively to win a game in those conditions.
Yeah, and that team right now, is their trust is in Bill is everything now. Because you just went out there and your quarterback threw the ball three times.
Yeah.
And you didn't have to throw the ball to win the game. So whenever it all comes down to, hey, we can't trust Mac Jones because he threw three interceptions in a windy game, that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Like they don't not trust Mac now. But they do trust Bill more because he came up, or they came up with a plan that they thought would work. And when they walked in the room and said, hey, guys, we're probably going to run it 700 times tonight, be ready, that team went into the mindset of, we can do this and we're going to have to do it. That's the only option we have.
I think I'm enamored by the snow game more than anything, because we don't, like, obviously last year notwithstanding, we don't usually get a lot of snow here, but I usually like the snow where it's like a blizzard before that, and then they move the snow off the field, and it's like all piled up on the sidelines, and you'd see the sideline reporters like, as you can see, there's about a foot of snow here. Or you get like the flurries during the game, but you could still chuck the ball and everything like that.
If the Cowboys, let's just say they play in Green Bay in the playoffs, or probably the only other place where you'd have possible elements, but probably not, would be Tampa Bay. Let's just say you have a monsoon, it's a big rainstorm. And so now you're playing in a big rainstorm and you know you can't pass the ball and it's sloppy and everybody's slipping. Then you're just like, well, I mean, maybe we'll overcome it. Maybe we'll be the team that this helps out. But if you were to lose the game and you couldn't pass the ball during the game, you'd feel a little bit cheated as a fan, going, man, my team had a chance to go to the Super Bowl or had a chance to do something, and we had to stop passing the ball to CeeDee Lamb, or we had to run simple plays because you couldn't run any type of routes where there was a stop and go, because you can't stop in this weather, or you can't pass the ball far in this weather. So I get where Kavanaugh's coming from, or some of the Tuolos are coming from, is you would like somewhat perfect conditions because it does tell you usually who the better team is overall. But to me, there is some fun in overcoming elements in a football game.
There was a special on the Patriots, I believe it was when they beat the Falcons.
Okay.
And I don't know if you've heard of that Super Bowl, Kevin. It was kind of an important Super Bowl in Tom Brady's history.
I'm pretty sure that game that Tom Brady just won against the Falcons was the biggest win ever against them.
But I watched that special on that specifically, and there were a lot of really small details that you got out of it. But one of the things that always does stand out is the hill. Have you heard of the hill that they have in New England?
I guess not.
They have a hill on the backside of their practice facility.
Oh,
and every day, Bill Belichick would walk through the locker room and say, get on the hill.
Yep.
And everybody would go run the hill. And he kept telling them all year long, look, what we're doing right now is the reason you're going to be in better shape than your opponent at the end of the season. And they were like, you know, whenever you're starting it, you're like, whatever. But then when you get to, you know, week 13 and you're beating your opponents in a certain way, you're like, oh, hold on. Is the work I'm putting in actually the effort? And it didn't matter if it was raining or snowing or a blizzard. They went out there and ran the hill. And so they, in their minds, they know we can overcome. But just like Mike said, we know we can do it. And they can't because they don't have a clue what the hill's about. And so that's something that when you talk about, you know, the Spurs back in the day, those Spurs teams were very well built to beat anybody, right? It's not just our style of basketball. We can play your style. We can do all the things that you do just as well as you can. And that's where I think whenever you realize you're built for not only your opponents, but for whatever else is in front of you, those are the details that Bill Belichick pays attention to.
Now, I know we're going to talk more about New England and Bill Belichick a little bit later in the show as well. But in the meantime, what to do with the Buffalo Bills? Do you realize?
Have that in Mike asked football questions, but we can ask it now. I have plenty if we want to talk about the Bills here.
It's been 8 weeks since they've won back-to-back games. They are 7-5. No, that is not good. They're underdogs in their next game. And you could easily see, because I got Tampa coming up, you could easily see them losing to that team. So they're 7-6 with the lone good win on their resume being against a Chiefs team that now is surging, but at the time looked like they were kind in some chaos. So what to do with them?
My question back to you, because I was thinking about this last night watching them play, and I get the elements weren't the best, but they were the team at home.
Yeah.
And they lost. Is will Buffalo make the playoffs? And if they do, will they win a playoff game? For them being so hot, for Josh Allen being the next superstar quarterback, there's a lot of questions there with Buffalo. First, do you think they'll make the playoffs?
I do.
Second, do you think they'll win a playoff game?
And that's the interesting thing is how does the Ravens, Titans, Chiefs shuffle out? You know what I'm saying? Like, because Buffalo looks like they could be the 5 seed, though they could be the 6 seed. Who do you draw? Do you draw a Tennessee team that is now
the
tumbling?
7 right now?
Yeah. Or do you end up getting the Colts who surge into the division lead? And I guess I would be inclined to say no right now because the AFC has a lot of unpredictability right there because Tennessee is the division leader right now, but it looks like they're falling off a cliff. Will they be able to hold on, or will you get a Colts team that seems like they are somewhat resurgent, or will you end up getting the Chiefs team that is one of the hottest teams in the NFL, or the Dolphins, who are somehow all of a sudden one of the hottest teams in the NFL as well? Will they figure out a way to get into that mix? And what about the Bengals? Like, I would be inclined to say yes, they make the playoffs, but no, they don't win a playoff game.
All right, Titans schedule, Kevin, Jacksonville, Steelers, Niners.
Okay.
That's so the next three.
So maybe one?
Titans or Dolphins and Texans.
You said this is the...
That's the Titans.
So I could
They'll win two for sure. So the I Texans see them, and Jaguars are easy wins.
I could see them at 10-7.
Okay. I do want to look at the Colts real quick.
But I'll say they'll win one more of those.
Okay. I would just say, like, they lost to the Jets.
I hear you, but I think they'll go... Okay. They'll win three. They'll go 3-2.
Okay. So 11-6?
This is going to be tough.
That would be my guess.
The Colts have the Patriots next.
Ooh.
They have the Cardinals after that.
Yikes.
They'll lose at least one of those.
The weird Raiders.
Yeah.
And then the Jaguars.
Okay, so...
I'll give them 2-2.
Okay.
And they have to catch up, right? Like, they're behind.
They do. They're a game and a half back.
Put them 9-8, and that probably wouldn't make the playoffs.
And I could see them at... I think they could go to 10-7, okay, which is where does Tennessee also end up at 10-7, or are they ahead of the curve? And I don't know. But, I mean, they and the other thing is they have to overcome the Titans because I'm pretty sure they lost both of those games to Tennessee. So you really need Tennessee to hit the skids. And so
I just don't know if that – I don't know if that's going to happen. I would still put my money at this point that Kansas City is going to match up at some point with the Patriots.
Okay.
Like that's what I look at. And – just the way that I don't like it. Listen, I hope that people aren't saying, man, look at Corey, the Patriots fan. I'm just watching a football team that's very capable of everything.
I mean, they have the longest winning streak in the NFL.
Yeah.
So, like, if anyone's going after you for that, I'd be like, I mean, have you seen the football? And by the way, did you see the tweet that obviously was getting circulated a lot from 6 years ago when Mac Jones said, I have never seen snow? And so people just started like bringing that back up. They're like, what about now? And just as an aside, I saw somebody text this in when we asked about the Heisman Trophy. Said the Heisman Trophy has never been prestigious or relevant. Man, I remember, and maybe it's just a byproduct of like when I was a kid, I remember being like really into who was going to be the Heisman Trophy winner, even if they didn't end up having good pro careers, because there was a time where like winning a Heisman Trophy was the kiss of death when it came to being a good pro. But the four finalists are out. Bryce Young from Alabama, C.J. Stroud from Ohio State, Kenny Pickett for Pittsburgh, and Aiden Hutchinson from Michigan.
I haven't cared about it for a long time. Like, even when we go to the Army-Navy, like, you got to come after the Army-Navy game because we're having a big Heisman Trophy party at wherever. I was like, okay, and I wouldn't go because I'm like, I don't care about the Heisman Trophy.
But did you used to care?
I think so.
Was that just a byproduct of us being younger then?
Maybe, or? But I'm just like, I mean, I care who wins it as in like who won it, but I'm not watching a 5-hour ceremony for like second. Like, just tell me who won it. I don't care about the whole like presentation and the whole, and now the winner is like, no, I don't care. Just tell me on Twitter or whatever who won, and I don't care about their speech. I don't care about any of that. Just tell me who won the Heisman.
You, Kevin, are one that does not like pageantry.
I do not.
Do you enjoy the 5-hour ceremony, or are you like, you just want to get into the debate about who the guys are?
I just catch the last 20 minutes. Okay. Because, and I understand, don't get me wrong, I'm not like diminishing the profiles. I get why they do the profiles. Like, you work really hard. That to get to that point, I don't really care. And I'll just go ahead and save you if you don't want to watch the ceremony. Bryce Young is right. The winner. Like, just go ahead and skip it.
That's
if you
why
want.
I don't care. Like, Bryce Young should win.
I cared from when Woodson was the first time I started paying attention to that.
See,
and then Woodson, you had Ricky Williams. I really like enjoyed watching Ricky Williams play college ball. Ron Dayne was a blast because of what he did too. So from there until probably Matt Leinart. And then after that, I kind of was like, oh, I kind of know who's going to win every year after that.
For me, it was Desmond Howard because, like, when he did the Heisman pose, I was, like, at the age that I was like, oh, my God, that's, like, the Heisman Trophy. He's telling people, you know, as a kid, I was like, he's telling people he should win it, and he just scored a touchdown. That's amazing. Like, my tiny mind couldn't conceive of what
happened. I heard Choppy this morning
happened.
Go off on Keith Jackson, and he said Keith Jackson was the only reason that he won that award, because Keith Jackson was calling those games, and he just kept telling people that he was going
to
win.
So did we need to relitigate the Heisman from, like, 30 years ago? Is that what happened?
Well, we've already done that once, Kevin.
Yeah.
Not with OJ, but with Reggie Bush.
Oh, okay.
So...
yeah, so the Heisman Trophy winner that year was nobody? Is that still what we're going with?
I think so. Oh, what year was that?
NCAA is like, was that 05,
06? 2005 is vacant. Yeah. It still says vacated.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, you didn't see that. Nobody won. I saw it. I saw who won. Reggie Bush won the Heisman. We're the KNC.
And then it got repossessed by Vince Young in that Rose Bowl game.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, that's the thing I don't understand.
Didn't a lot of Vince Young stuff, though, then get repossessed because he ran out of money?
Oh, my God. Well, why didn't they give Vince Young the Heisman if you're like, you don't get it? And they're like, you know what? Nobody gets it. The NCAA is like that jerk friend that you had as a kid.
That's them making an example to everybody. If one person cheats in college football, everybody has to suffer because nobody should cheat in college football.
Or the NCAA selectively decides what they want to pursue and what they don't. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Brought to you by Ford, built for Texas, built for you from DallasCowboys.com. It is our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, fellas. How's it going?
It's good. And then we just saw the news a little bit ago, or the official release a little bit ago, that Dak Prescott is going to be the Cowboys nominee for Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year. And we talked so much about Dak, the quarterback. I was just curious, and I know access has been more limited the last couple of years, but even before that, like, what have your interactions been with him as a human, or what have you seen him do out in the community that you think is noteworthy?
Yeah, I mean, he's had so many different projects out there. I think they listed them in the release on, you know, charitable things, appearances that he's made. Yeah, I think he has kind of embraced his position as the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, as, you know, the guys have done over the years. If you look at, you know, what, you know, basically with Meredith and Staubach and Danny White going on to Aikman and then Romo. And, yeah, they've always taken a big lead, I think, in the community, and Dak has certainly followed through with that. And, you know, if you just ever get a chance to be around him, and I heard Troy Aikman talking about this one day, about how one of the best qualities a quarterback can have, other than, you know, physical talent, is people want to be around you. People want to interact with you. They want to hang out with you. And, boy, that was one of Troy's great qualities, because he figured out real fast that my best friends need to be the offensive linemen, right?
Yeah.
And to be able to go across the aisle, not just, you know, hang out with the offensive guys, but interact with the defensive guys. And I think that's one of the great things Dak does. And a great thing that they finally started with, not having offense on one side of the locker room and defense on the other, and kind of have everybody intermingled together in the locker room. And so, yeah, I just think that's one of his qualities. I mean, if you're looking for the Pied Piper on the team, it's Dak Prescott.
So, Mickey, I'm going to go ahead and put some words in your mouth right here.
What I
just heard is, you think that the country, especially politically, would be better off if we operated like quarterbacks do in the locker room and got people to go across the aisle. Does that
absolutely
sound right? Okay. I feel comfortable with that.
Yes, and I feel comfortable agreeing with you.
Mickey, would all the great things that Dak's done off the field, would he have been able to handle himself in a game like the Patriots quarterback did last night and be say, you know what, I will only throw it three times?
You know what? I think, you know what that game accomplished? Because I hear the Bills want to build a new stadium, right?
Oh.
A roof. Okay. You're in Buffalo. It's in New York. It's by the Great Lakes. The weather isn't good, middle of November on. Put a roof on your stadium.
Because I had a seagull crap on me one time. There's no game in the stands.
There's no reason. And you know, and I always hear this, well, that's part of football, and that's my home field advantage. Well, guess what? The home field advantage just bit you in the butt, because your quarterback got neutered because of the weather and the wind, and the other team figured out a way to beat you. If you had a roof, maybe if you throw 30 passes, you could have completed enough to get 250 yards and maybe two touchdowns. So I think if they learned anything, put a roof on your stadium.
Man, what an interesting way of looking at that negotiation tactic. I hadn't considered that.
I mean, look at it this way. What other sport plays in weather like that, other than maybe soccer, I guess?
That would be interesting if in an NBA game they were just like, all
right, let's wet down the court, right?
In the far right-hand corner where you would take your corner three, there's going to be a patch of water, so deal with it.
Mick, if you watch the Mavs, it looks like their tempo is they're swimming.
Right? Well, and you guys probably aren't old enough to have remembered this, but when they first started playing hockey in basketball arenas, and they would put the basketball court over the ice.
Yes.
The condensation would seep through the court in some places, and it became slippery. Well, golly, they're not going to play on that, right? You're going to dry that off, or we're going to call the game off. Can't have that. So, yeah, I never understand why, you know, it's such a man thing to play football in weather like that.
Now, we heard from Dan Quinn yesterday, and one of the things that he said was, our confidence in Kelvin Joseph is really high. When his moment is called, he'll definitely be ready. I was curious whether it's something you've seen from practice. I know that part is limited. Have you seen anything from Kelvin Joseph and been able to, like, put together any kind of idea of what type of player he could be, which I know is tough, especially for rookies?
Yeah, and especially since he's just playing special teams. So, yeah. You know, if you look at what he's done defensively, he's only had a handful of snaps. So they're judging that on what he's been able to do on special teams and contributing that way. I don't, you know, this is going to be a kind of a, for a defense anyway, kind of his redshirt year, because unless they just absolutely need another cornerback out there, I don't know what their confidence is having him play 20 snaps at cornerback unless it's absolutely necessary. But I think from a competitive standpoint on special teams, they've seen him engage and do some, you know, good things, not necessarily tackles, but, you know, maybe blocking, maybe getting down, causing disruption. And at least he's done that. And if you remember, his knock when he came in here was, well, we don't know if this guy likes football. And I think maybe he's finally got his priorities right now and realize he can't do all the other stuff he likes to do if he doesn't make his money playing football.
Mickey, the with the additions of Gallimore, Gregory, with those guys being in the mix here, there have to be some roster adjustments. What's likely to happen? Who's likely to not be on this roster anymore?
Well, I think they still have, if I can look real quickly here, I was going to say.
Do you have like a steno pad, or do you like my co-host who has a moleskin?
No, I've got the printed out roster
my
here,
wife got
and
this
it looks
for
like
me.
They only have 51 guys on the 53-man roster.
All right, then.
As long as this is accurate. So they've got room to activate two guys for sure onto the roster. Although one guy will be one of the spots taken up was a COVID thing. So if they're going to put Steele back on once he's eligible, that would be 52. So they would have to make some sort of roster move. And usually they'll wait on that because those guys can get started in their 21-day practice period, and then when they get to the end of the week, judge if they're ready to go. And you never know who might have to go on IR or who tests positive for COVID.
Now,
and then it opens up a roster spot.
And can we stop on that part? I'm sure we talked about this a long time ago. Are the COVID tests run independently by the NFL? Because if not, and I'm not insinuating that the Cowboys have done this whatsoever.
They better not do that. You've seen what they did with the guys with fake vaccinations. Yeah, I know where you're going. I don't think you're going to fudge that.
Okay.
Because I think you have to turn the results in to the NFL.
Were you trying to cheat the system,
no,
Kevin?
I mean, a little bit. Wow. Basically, my question was going to be,
can maybe do that with IR.
Okay.
Okay, this sprained ankle is going to take 3 weeks, right? But I don't think you want to mess with the COVID protocol stuff.
Okay. That was just going to be my question. I was just curious. Hey, look.
You see where Kevin's mind is.
I'm just asking about competitive advantages.
I'm not ashamed or disappointed. I'm actually kind of proud. of what you were trying to do. So yesterday, I know we kind of discussed the George Edwards, you know, Duke association there a little bit. Would he leave during the middle of the NFL season to go start the recruiting for something like that?
I don't think so. And I'm trying to remember. You know what? I think maybe the 95 season when Oklahoma hired John Blake as their head coach. He was the Cowboys defensive line coach. I think he did leave early towards the end of the season, but it was in December sometime. There was only a game or two left before the playoffs. But I can't remember another coach maybe up and leaving for a college head coaching job in the middle of the season. So, yeah, I'm not sure how that would work out if they, you know, would let him maybe do both, although that's kind of a distraction. And maybe they don't make that decision until after, the NFL season.
Oh. All right.
But it's kind of a non-answer, right? Because I'm not sure I've run into that before.
Well, we demand that you find answers.
You know what? They can use all the help defensively they can to improve. You know, I was just looking here. After the Atlanta game, the defense was ranked 15th overall in total yards. This morning they're 27th.
Ooh. And I know I think I saw the points too had fallen from like 10th to 18th or something.
And so you know, we talk about the offense, but the defense hadn't really stepped up and helped out too much when it comes to yardage, right?
Yeah.
Because even though they held the Saints to 17 points, the 405 total yards the Saints had was a season high for them with a quarterback who should be playing fullback.
Not quarterback.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Mickey. We will catch up with you again. I guess McCarthy's back on tomorrow, so we'll catch you later.
Yeah, absolutely. See you guys.
All right. There you go. Mickey Spagnola from DallasCowboys.com. Real quick, I know we don't usually care about college basketball, but did you see the amazing upset last night? Texas Southern was 0-7.
Let's talk about it.
And they went to go play Florida in Gainesville and beat them by 15 points. Florida was ranked number 20 in the country. Texas Southern was a 22.5 point favorite, which underdog, which actually feels low. And they got their first win of the season on the road against a ranked team.
Is it college basketball you're talking
about? That's right.
That's great.
That is impressive.
Well,
I can't remember the particular note. Was it the first time that a SWAC team had beaten an AP top 10?
That is,
or
that,
top
okay. That is correct.
There you go.
Hold on. So now you
nice.
Care?
Good Man. Job, Reggie.
Where can I watch this?
You know what? I'll get you the download. I got something else for you. Never mind.
What?
We're on camera.
What is happening right now?
I'm just kidding, Mike.
Was that a threat?
We're the KNC. No, it's just going to be a middle finger.
He's going to make me watch that game.
Yeah, that's going to be your threat. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, get excited, Mike, because you get to ask all the football questions.
I have 4 football questions.
Oh, you need
How
more.
Many political questions?
I'll add 1. 5 now.
Oh, my God. Next on the Fan.
Shout out Texas Southern Tigers.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Now, Mike is extra excited because not only is he winning things, he gets to ask us all the football questions.
All right, so my first football question, which I think is a great football question. Yeah. First, you just have to either agree with me or disagree with me here. Would you say over the last 3 years that the Kansas City Chiefs have been the most entertaining football team to watch?
Yes. Concur.
Would you agree with me that this year the Kansas City Chiefs are not the most entertaining team to watch?
Concur. Yes.
My question.
Why do they keep getting on the primetime slot?
Who is the most entertaining team in football to watch this year?
Ooh.
That's a good question. It was the Cowboys for a minute.
It was.
Because they were like, they
I
were
almost
doing
feel like
all
you have to take them out just because we are, that's our team.
But I think,
but I hear what you're saying.
They were doing all the air assault stuff that was really fun, and their defense was stepping, like the interceptions from Diggs was something I think that the rest of the country is following too. The Cowboys were, but man, I don't know who at the moment I have to see because I would say the Cardinals, but I don't think I've really sat down and watched a Cardinals game. I'll say the Bengals, Mike. Okay. I enjoy watching the Bengals because they have Joe Mixon, they have T. Higgins, they have Jamar Chase, Joe Burrow, other than their defense. But, yeah, I really like watching the Bengals games.
Okay. I have a crazy opinion
that
y'all might crap on. I know their quarterback we don't love, but could it be the Indianapolis Colts?
No, they're
with
boring.
With Jonathan Taylor?
He's a blast. Yes.
Do you know that I found this amazing. Did you see the stat that Jonathan Taylor has as many touchdowns this season as the Giants? Like, if you just wanted to see, like, a reason that they got rid of their offensive coordinator, I think it could be that. And then as much as I hate to say it, I think Tampa Bay is fun to watch. Like, I don't like Tom Brady, but he is clearly the front runner for MVP right now. They have fun players both on offense and on defense. That's another reason I said the Colts, just because I like you to watch Darius Leonard and people like that. So
is that an issue at all this year? I know ratings are great for the NFL,
up 12%,
but is that an issue that Kansas City has fallen off? Is that that kind of, you know, you had the greatest show on turf with Kurt Warner, and you usually have this just explosive offensive team that you're kind of looking forward to watching. That now we are to December, and you guys just named the Colts as a running team.
Yep.
That's not really a popular team in the NFL. Sure. Cincinnati has not been a popular team, but I get
totally agree.
Like, I was excited when the game at noon, and there's only one game in Dallas-Fort Worth to watch if you do TV like I do. It was Chargers and Bengals, and I was excited because it was Herbert versus Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about this as the Chiefs played another Sunday night boring football game that they won, but I'm just like, man, there's not a team that really is like, I got to watch this quarterback or this team play offense because it is fun to watch.
I do think, though, you're right about that, but I think there are lots of teams that I want to see play against each other.
Okay.
That might be the thing that I'm
like,
most
come
enjoying.
Playoff time. I hear you.
You are spot on. Like, Corey, again, football genius. We've established that on the show over the years. That's exactly what I was thinking, because going into the playoffs, people are going to trip over themselves about, could you possibly get New England against Tampa?
Right.
If you got the Cowboys in the NFC Championship or the Super Bowl, be the highest rated ones ever.
Yeah.
Packers, Aaron Rodgers,
obviously,
last dance.
Dallas going to Green Bay or vice versa. Yeah. You had Mike McCarthy facing Green Bay.
So I think Corey is spot on about that. But I also think your point about the fun offense is fair.
I watched every snap last night of Trevor Lawrence versus the Rams. You can go to YouTube, and a dude does a great job of, like, when he drops back, not handing the ball off.
I bet that Texas Southern game's on YouTube as well.
I will not watch that. I was watching Trevor Lawrence, and look, I'm biased. I was watching him, and he still, to me, has the great footwork, the great arm, the athleticism. 50% of the time, as soon as the ball snapped, it's an OF situation because they can't block and they don't have the best weapons. And a lot of times they'll just run quick plays where he just has to get the ball out. Just snap it, get the ball out, because we can't block for more than 2 seconds to give you a chance anyways. Yeah. And he does make some passes that aren't the best passes, but you still see all the traits of a superstar quarterback. At least I do. Okay.
Yeah.
That being said, they look horrible. Now I'm going to ask you another question. You are Trevor Lawrence's agent. You see that your guy is about to die 50% of the time they snap the ball. You see that your coach, or the coach that is coaching your $300 to $500 million quarterback of the future, as long as he doesn't get hurt and they give him a chance to succeed, is not going to have a chance to succeed because of the coaching staff, because of the situation. Would you, if you were Trevor Lawrence's agent in the offseason, say, we are not playing another down for the Jacksonville Jaguars?
I would not.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
I personally just don't believe in that, especially this early in the process. Like, if it was 4 or 5 years, well, although I guess he could just bail after his contract was up. Well, let's just say for some reason.
So you don't agree with what John Elway did?
Because it led
to a great career.
I do not. Like, just as a
Eli Manning?
As a human being, I do not
always
approve. I do not approve of
Is
that.
Is it fair? Okay.
Well, No. Hold on. Right. I was going to say, I think there is a difference between John Elway and Eli Manning and Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence agreed and signed the contract. John Elway and Eli Manning said, I'm not going to play there. I'm going to give you a heads up. And Bo Jackson did the same thing, and the Raiders made the decision anyway. And he's like, I told you that. I think there's a difference. Like,
don't you even think, like, he gave him a year, though? He's like, I played for this thing. I know it's not going
to
work.
Yeah, and, like, I believe he had to know when he made that commitment what a tough road ahead this was going to be. I just personally don't believe in that.
I hear you. I don't really believe in the draft. I think Reggie's with me on this.
Yeah.
You should be able to
abolish the draft.
Pick where you get to play.
I hear you.
Now,
we talked about that a while ago. I think there is a lot of legitimacy to elements of that.
But I watched it, and I don't think Trevor Lawrence is going to – I think it's impossible. You could put Joe Montana, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, you name John Elway, whoever you think the greatest quarterbacks of all time is. You give them that Jacksonville Jaguar coaching staff, that Jacksonville Jaguar team. I talked to Broadus about this morning, too, about this question. And he's talked to his Jacksonville people, and they say Trevor Lawrence has no chance. It doesn't matter how good or how bad you think a person is. Trevor Lawrence has no chance to be successful there.
Specifically because of the coaches?
And the talent.
Okay, because the offensive line is just bad.
Yeah.
Laquon Treadwell was his leading receiver on Sunday.
Yes.
That's bad.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. All right.
And the way they do that is they just snap the ball, because Treadwell's too stupid to know how to run routes. That's been proven in his career. They just snap the ball and throw it to him because he's physical, and then they're like, can you just make a guy miss and maybe get 7 to 10 yards on this?
I like James Robinson. The coaching staff hates when he fumbles, and they're like, we're not giving you the
ball
anymore.
I've watched enough. And he can't catch either. He's like, oh, my God, he threw it to me. How do I catch a football?
He's a great running back. Right. You know, give him 22 carries, you're going to – Travis Etienne's a great compliment to him. And they don't have that. They have Chenault, but it's not really – he's not as effective. I think Etienne next year. But more importantly, they have to, at the number two pick in the draft – land an offensive lineman that's going to be able to help them.
The Alabama kid right now is supposed to be their pick.
Yeah, they got to figure out how to keep their quarterback upright, because it's impossible for him to succeed without it.
Next question. What happened to Lamar Jackson? His last three games have not been good.
Yeah.
He has just dropped off the map of – like, we've defended him. I'll just say our show has defended Lamar Jackson at least this whole season and last year since I've been on it. But right now, I cannot defend Lamar Jackson and what he's doing on a football field.
It's the turnovers, because even – I know you said the last three games, and I get offensively like how it worked out. But, man, he made some really poor decisions in that Minnesota game as well. So, poor decisions has been an issue. He has been getting destroyed back there. But with Lamar Jackson, as with sometimes with mobile quarterbacks, sometimes you wonder, are the sacks a byproduct of poor offensive line play, or are they a byproduct of, I have legs, I'm going to extend this play and make something happen, and then it crushes down on you. It's been bad.
Do you feel like he's trying to extend plays? Because sometimes I almost honestly look up and I feel like he's trying to stay in the pocket almost to prove something to somebody or something. I don't know.
Which is so weird to me, because I like, if that's the case, I wish I could get a message to him and be like, you don't need to prove jack to anybody. You already won an MVP. Do what you do best for whatever style of football you prefer and go win some playoff games. It's
unfortunate that his running game got obliterated before the season started,
right?
Because again, he's their leading rusher out of necessity. But if they were able to run the ball a little more effectively, that might help some of what he can do.
How about this quote from Mike Tomlin for you guys to further this on? Steelers coach Mike Tomlin fired off a gem in the post game talking about John Harbaugh and Baltimore. He says, they aggressively play analytics, so from that standpoint, they're predictable. So what the Steelers are saying, and I think this is interesting, for I'd love to hear Kavanaugh talk about this, because he's so like, you have to play the analytics. And for Choppy, whatever the analytics say, pretty much do. And now a coach that just played a team that pretty much does what the analytics say, is this is easy to predict, because they just do exactly what the analytics tell you to do.
I'm epically fascinated by it, and I would love to dive.
You beat the computer in video games.
Okay,
man.
I would love to dive back into this at some point. Is hiring not just an analytical person, but an analytical opposing strategist? Is like, you're not doing analytics for your team, you're analyzing the analytics of the other team in order to devise what that game plan would be. That is really fascinating. Yeah.
I had one more question based off of the Miami Dolphins, that if they beat the Jets, they go from 1-7 to 7-7 and put themselves in position with 3 weeks to go to possibly make the playoffs. One, would they make the playoffs? We're really out of time. And Jalen Waddle, if you guys didn't know this, he's second in the NFL in receptions now. So the Jamar Chase, Jalen Waddle deal becomes closer on who could possibly be the best wide receiver out of this class.
Absolutely. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, I'm excited about this segment. I wonder if the rest of the Metroplex is. The Stars have been on a franchise record roll. Have you noticed? Do you care? 877-881-1053. We'll get into it next right here on The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.